Blog Talk Radio.
Give me one to another. It's a cute ditty.
I woke up from a memory, still lying here next to you, watching you as you're dreaming. The dreams I thought I knew, your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true, your touch is golden dear.
Discussions here on Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio from All Poetry, a website with the world's largest group of poets. Inside that group of poets is a beautiful team called Team of Voices. I happen to be part of that team and very proud to be. Tonight, Sweet Discussions will be talking about what if anything? You name it, we'll talk about it. In words of poetry or whatever we want to discuss. What if the avalanche don't win tonight? What if lightning does? What if the avalanche don't take the cup home? Oh my goodness, I know people where I live are going to be a little upset about that. But people where other people live might be pretty happy about that. But that's all the talk right now going on in my house. If you hear some screaming in the background, that might be exactly what's going on. So, going to say hello to some of my callers that are digging in the background. First, we're going to say hi to Jay Hatter. Hatter, how are you tonight?
Unmuted. I'm fine. What if?
What if? And Rocky Tour, how are you to Sweepy?
What if you could see how beautiful Sweepy is?
Thank you. It would be funny to say, what if you could see how beautiful Sweet Pea is? Because I've not actually met Hatter. And you could maybe say, oh, Hatter, she's so gorgeous or she's so ugly. Except I've met you and you still can't say that because you can't
I met you, but I haven't seen you.
This is correct. So you don't know.
Isn't that what Stevie Wonder told the judge when he was charged with rape? He said, I've never seen that woman in my life.
Oh, no. I think Bill Cosby tried the same defense, but it didn't work.
Never seen a woman in my life. So, yes. All right. So, I have like 5 recordings. So we're going to get into poetry right away, and then we're going to come back and talk. But first, I've got Miss K on the board. So we're going to play Miss K right away. So if you want to click on her poem.
Play K right away.
We're going to play K right away. We're going to play Miss K's poetry right away. So it's on the board. You got to have.
We'll take our shirts off. I think we could have a better chance to get up.
Okay.
What does Hatter stop talking?
Never.
Never.
The path to light is inner salvation. Okay. Greenery, trestling and climb the depths of shadows. Dust upon blush and gold hills. As mist, lights one home. Checkers, chartreuse underground whisper. Stained and winds of a sharpened plane. Wilton leaves upon the cloth speaks of the fight betwixt angels. Hear the call as two walk, fallen footsteps that mirror the sands, weeping. The bottle brush of rage, the prism of keys, the hourglass of dunes of dawn. Armaments of branching, the cashmere sky, hollyhocks home. Stamping ground, purlieu, port of ware. As a dwelling place, free of ingle nook and storms, upon choosing to walk with light and pump.
That is beautiful. You know, I often think, what if we always did choose the way to walk in beauty instead of walking in the dark? A way to walk, you know, with the light, instead of always looking at something that's wrong. You know, too many of us do walk in negativity and not choosing to walk forward in something beautiful. I love the stanza here, the call is to walk following the footsteps that mirror in the sands. Or, you know, and Kay always has that beautiful way with words and the things that she says and the way that she says it. It's just beautiful in words and, you know, message. Well done, Kay. And Hatter, your thoughts on this?
You know, Kay's got comfortable with her talent being increased tenfold, that her storytelling is showing more and more, and it's getting better. It's a whole different bunch of worries when you have a storyline instead of working with metaphors all the time, and you decide to go with a story, because you have to have a strong beginning, a strong end, and you got to keep the interest of the reader in the body, the story. And she does very well. Showing off, Kay.
Yes, she is. And Rex, what are your thoughts?
I'm still stuck on how to say interesting body. I like the way Kay writes. She does a lovely job, you know, her excellent choice of words and things. The prompt lends itself to a lot of different thoughts. For me, the what if when it applies to what she wrote sounds a lot like, you know, making choices. And, you know, that's one of those things that kind of makes me crazy, because even if you make, you know, if you could go back in time and make a different choice, it's not to say it's not going to turn out differently. So that idea of, you know, what if, or trying to shape the way things happen, it's kind of misleading, I think, sometimes. You never know. So those possibilities open up. Beautiful, beautiful piece, Kay.
Absolutely. And then to get another one out of my, up and out of our beautiful recording world, we've got Frank on the board because I know he's up and listening, and sometimes he doesn't have much time, so I'm trying to give him some love tonight because he hasn't been on early on my show a couple of times. So here we go for Frank.
Frank needs lots.
The next poem on the... So here you go, Frank. Haven't gotten you on early in a couple of my shows, so I got you on early tonight.
To be or not to be, that is the devil of your question one must ask.
If life was based solely on our reality, then we are nothing more than a collection of atoms evolved into matter. Our form would be defined as strictly physical, and our breath would be reduced to mortality. But life is much more than that, and we are much more than the simplicity of our reality. We that are artists are created from the aesthetic world of the innovative minds of intellects. I am a man that understands the world of the artist, for I am the essence of art and its creation. I am who I am, and you are who you are. But I can be you and you can be me, if we remember we are human. I am a philosopher, a man of knowledge and wisdom, a man of Socrates, Plato and Aristotle. Philosophy is not a religion or science, it is art, a way of thinking and not a belief. In the world of reality, we are who we believe we are, even though others may perceive otherwise. To the world of our imagination, we are the illusion we create within the labyrinth of dreamers. You see, life is only what we define its relevance. It can mean something, or it can mean nothing. Thus, the question must be queried. Who are we and what becomes of us? There is no answer to be replied. To be or not to be, that is the question. The what if means nothing. If we don't understand the why, we are here. Hindu poem.
Wait for it.
It didn't come. You know, I really think that, I don't know. This is quite the question. So many questions here. So many questions. But the last question, the what if it means nothing? We don't understand the why we are here. And I don't know if I agree with that. Sometimes you never know the why. Why someone commits a crime, why someone loves someone, why someone hates someone. Sometimes the why is the hardest to figure out.
Sometimes
again,
you can't figure
we can enjoy. No,
yeah,
enjoy our imagination, enjoy who we are. You know, enjoy our richness, enjoy the story. You know, be in the now. But why do we have to figure out the why? If we always focus on the why, think of all the things we pass by. That has always been the question. Not why are we here, but why do we have to worry about the why? There's so much in this poem. There's so much to think about, so many things to go and, you know, dive into every little line and every little question. I love that that's the question to make clearer. Who are we and what becomes of us if there is no answer to be replied? Yes, Hatter, talk to me.
I think we worry about finding our niche, why we're here individually, in search of being happy, finding happiness. You have to have the epiphany of finding yourself and be understand yourself and what and your reason that you're here. I think nowadays with the internet and the phones, you're always in contact with somebody else. People don't have the alone time that creates the reflection of yourself, and you find yourself. I think that's the spirituality in ourselves is missing because of the technology. I don't carry my phone like I have a tether on it. If I go outside, because I don't want to ever feel like it's a part of me, and it's an addictive thing. I think the being able to be alone, and I mean alone where you can't pick up the phone and text somebody, farm life, the inter-reflection is needed to find happiness. And I think that question is part of that, to be or not to be. You have to answer that yourself. It's not a question for anybody else. I'm rambling, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And I agree. I think that, you know, technology has made us slaves to it. I mean, we're slaves to, oh, my God, I can't miss a phone call. I can't miss a phone call. What if I miss this? What if I miss that? Like, my God. My parents missed a billion phone calls just being out. I mean, for dinner. I mean, oh, my God. And, I mean, after this, you missed the phone call. My boss, I mean, people.
I was going to write a short story about the day the internet went down, like if we have the poles switch, the magnetic poles, it's done it several times, and they don't know what's going to happen or how it happens again. Is it a quick thing, or is it going to be a gradual thing over a couple months that all the satellites blink out, which means internet would be interrupted. And in the story, it starts off at Starbucks, and when the internet goes out, people are in the fetal position in the corner on the floor. they can't get a hold of anybody. People running down the street screaming, "It's over, you know, repent, end is near."
Can you imagine
because of
something like that actually happening?
They are.
No, I mean, you know, people like not having a phone. Hold on, I think Adam is on the phone.
You know, there was a couple of vice presidents that had seven digit salaries in from Silicon Valley that quit their job. And one of them is trying to voice why he quit. What they're doing is all the mind altering, addictive things that casinos use to keep you there.
Yeah,
they're including it in the phones, and it's affecting our children. Children get addicted to these things easily, and it's the same technology. And then once these guys left, I know this one guy, he left a good paying job in Silicon Valley because he found out that's what they were doing. They want to control the minds of the youth so they can do it. They just think about it. Think about it.
I can't.
You know, think of the war. Think of War of the Worlds. What happened to the War of the Worlds when that show was on the radio?
I don't know. I've never seen that movie.
It was a radio broadcast first.
Well, I know that.
Yeah,
I understand all that, but I it's just not something I've ever done because that stuff kind of bores me. The War of the Worlds, I started to watch and I fell asleep. And then I started to watch and I fell asleep. I've never made it through. I wrote Hello to Pinker.
Well, you can listen to it. You can listen to it on YouTube. Just pull up War of the Worlds radio broadcast. And it just proves, proves that people can be altered the way they see things. That was just a radio show. This is a time thing over time. The addictive characters, and the colors. There was when the 1980s there was Japanese shows for kids that were actually Kids were actually going into seizures because of the flashing lights what they're doing. So that, you know, it just that's the target. That's the target that these corporations are looking at. It's not the adults. It's the children.
Harris.
Yeah.
Say hi to Pretty Bird.
Pretty Bird.
Hello.
Hi, Pretty Bird. Pretty Bird.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Pretty Bird. How are you?
Hey, Pretty Bird.
I'm good. I'm probably going to be muted a lot tonight because my little dog has a zoomies and she's pain in my butt, so she's tearing into things. So.
How is the baby dog? How has she been?
She's the same. She had to, her lungs were still bad, couldn't do surgery last week. We're going to try again next Tuesday, you know, after another round of antibiotics. So we'll see how she is. But, you know,
okay.
She's so spicy.
Spicy baby girl.
She doesn't
get chunky.
Chunky. Is she chunky? That's good. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I'm glad to see that she's doing good. We're discussing Mr. Frank's poem, which is quite the poem.
Yeah, he poses that question.
Went off on a psychological.
Yeah, he poses that question, like you said, in that last line, and that sends my mind off in a million different directions. But the first thing I wanted to mention, you know, you talk about not having your phone. You know, it wasn't that long ago that we didn't have cell phones. You know, when I was a teen, I grew up, we had beepers, we had pagers. That preceded cell phones, and for the youth of the world, that was a little box that only gave you a phone number that you were supposed to call back on your own. Our version of texting was putting 911 after the phone number. So, you know, it was a different time. It was there were you know, certain number combinations. If you turn them upside down, they actually made words. But, you know, that wasn't texting. It really wasn't.
Numbers in a calculator and you turned it upside down. That was fun. That was my day.
Hello, 07734. you know, it's just one of those things. That idea that you mentioned, Sweet, also of the why, that's very much like you said. That's an individual thing. You know, we own the why. It doesn't matter to anyone else. You know, that justification, that understanding of why. You know, you can try and explain it to someone else, but it'll never mean the same to them as it does to the person that says it. You know, I mean, there can be a degree of understanding and a degree of commonality, but, you know, you'll always own it because it's based on your experiences in your life. So that to me is you know, addresses that why question. You know, two separate thoughts, to be or not to be, and you know, first you have to understand why. I'm with you on that being a little contradictory. But, you know, the poem itself, you know, it was a lovely what if type of thought to make that iconic question to be about to be the what if, you know, especially with the things that I think about suicide these days. We could twist this around to talk about that, but, you know, that would involve a whole different, you know, 800 number and counseling and all these other things.
All kinds of things, yes. No, that's,
yeah, we're not going to go down that road, but... it is an iconic thought and definitely deserving of, you know, a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
That's insane. So, what's next, guys?
Guys.
What is?
No, guys.
No sky tonight. No sky.
Brother Echo.
It's just Maria, yeah. Okay, where am I? Where am I?
Is she in
my what if world?
Is she in the world?
I'm in Colorado, Florida.
Colorado.
All over the map. It's just like, where's Waldo? Where's
Waldo?
Yeah, I know.
Everybody doesn't even know my show's going to exist. I postponed it for so long. You're like, where? What? Huh?
What?
She's doing what? Is Sweet Pea actually shows up for a show tonight? That would be a miracle.
What if Sweet Pea actually answered the phone?
Well, that's it.
I know, there's something else.
What if she calls? What if? What if Hatter calls?
What if? Hatter, you want to read yours?
I do.
What if Hatter read his call?
I'm going to put it on the board. Okay? I'm going to attempt to put it on the board. Yeah. So that's what I do. I don't do a lot, but I can do that.
I thought that's what Pretty Bird did.
Hey, you're giving Pretty Bird a break. Obviously, I'm not. Look at her do it. She's like, yes, here you are.
You're okay under the bus over there, Pretty Bird?
She put it up before I even could do it. Okay, Hatter, you're on the board.
Okay, this is called I Love You So. It goes like this. What if you watched as I drew near? Would you stop to wait for me? What if I reached to take your hand to pull you close to see? What if I kissed you soft your neck and took away your shortened breath? I whispered, I'm having eye problems. Pretty Bird, could you read this for me?
Absolutely. I love this poem. It's on the list. Okay. And if my dog makes noise in the background, my apologies. I love you so. What if you watched as I drew near? Would you stop to wait for me? What if I reached to take your hand when you closed the sleep? What if I kissed so soft your neck and took away your shortened breath? The whispered word you begged me please to fall again if you set free. The pain too much for me to bear, one I should never have to own. Silence killed the suffered man, then buried his soul alone. Tell me what I need to hear, just like it was before. Cut the line to set it free, so I don't feel it anymore. What if I tell you I'm broken inside? Would you ask to hear the sound? Would you see the scars I wear from the chains that held me down? What if I held onto the sun to keep this night beside you? What if I stayed for a little while to make my dreams come true? It is gone. There is no place. I have looked between the lines. What if I dropped upon one knee and told you you are mine? What would you ask to see the light when I'm standing in the dark? Would you turn to tell me, please, I haven't gone too far? What if I cried for all to see? Could you stay so I would know? Would you walk away from me, knowing I love you so?
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Sounds a lot better when you read it.
Oh, I don't know about that, but it wouldn't sound so good if the words weren't so doggone darn pretty.
Pretty words.
I'm gonna cry for a few minutes, and then we can come back and talk about it. God, Hatter,
I just speed my heart all over the page.
You did.
What if I dropped upon one knee and told you you were mine?
For me, the thought behind something like this is there's kind of a duality to it in the sense that, you know, you could say all these things, but, you know, it's the person that you're saying it to that makes all the difference. Because some people that you could spill your heart out, like you said, and they still choose not to believe you. Or they just, you know, they feel indifferent to it and they just want to, like, you know, blow it off like it doesn't mean the same thing, like it doesn't mean anything. It's like you didn't just eviscerate yourself for them, you know? It's like you can be all you know, marshmallow poet and let them know how you really feel and see behind the curtain and whatnot, and then they just act like it's no big deal. You know, it's like, oh, that's just Hatter. You know, it's like, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, unfortunately, it was partly my experience anyway, you know, so I find it relatable in that regard. And you know, sometimes it almost feels pointless when you pour your heart out like that, and because that's the reaction that you get sometimes, you know. And you know, sometimes you do get someone that actually does care and recognizes what you're really saying, you know. So to me, that's kind of the what if behind something like that. It's not just, you know, what if I told you these things, you know, which is more a question for the author than the rest of us. It's what if it was received in that kind of in a positive manner as opposed to being dismissed.
Yes. And this is the man that keeps the hurt walker.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't disagree. I mean, the line that just takes me to the level that I'm at is, what if I told you I'm broken inside? Would you ask to hear the sound? There's something about that stanza that bears and breaks my heart. It just breaks my soul because it's so, so true. I mean, it's beyond the truth. What if I told you on the open side that you asked to hear the sound? Because I, you know, what would that sound be? Is it that silence? Is it the rumbling? Is it shattered glass? I mean, I just love that stanza. I've heard it a few times, and every time I hear it, it just stops me in my path. Everyone say hello to, I believe, Deb.
Hello to, I believe, Deb.
Hello.
Yes.
How you doing,
Oh,
Doc?
Oh, my God. I'm good.
Hi, Deb.
Okay. Paper, you hello. Read this. You have your lovely words on it.
So, I've had her, my favorite words of yours are the ones that break me. And which is why I saved this one a year ago. There's a point in here. Where is it? Don't mind my dog tearing up my room in the background. Tell me what I need to hear, just like it was before. Cut the lines to set it free so I don't feel it anymore. And that duality is it's the most painful place because if it can't be what it was or better, then it can't be what it is. And when you get a couple of lines down where, you know, would you see the scars I wear from the pains that held me down? You know, how much of that is pain? It's just, it breaks me, you know, because love makes you do some things you put in positions you would never find yourself in. It makes you, it may not always make you question who you are, but it makes you question why you do things. And you find yourself in positions where you know, you never thought you'd be. And it's heartbreaking. It absolutely is. And to that line, sweet, the one about, you know, would you ask to hear the sound? Really? What is this woman that needs proof that you're broken, that your word isn't good enough, you know? If you tell somebody your heart's broken, they're like, yeah, prove it. What is that? You know, I'm like,
no, I meant it just breaks my heart because
no,
it would be
word.
A sound.
Yes, oh. No, I understand. You know, I thought about, you know, the you know, if somebody were to actually ask that question, you know, that's what it would feel like, you know. You know, I'm broken. Yeah, prove it. And I'm just like, I'm telling you, I'm broken. What you see it in me. You see what I have done. But that ending, Hatter. You know, after all that, after you know, basically offering to cry in public to show everybody feel like, well, would you still walk away? And that's heartbreaking. And this is just beautifully, beautifully done.
Thank you, pretty please.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, there's some favorite lines of mine in this, a couple stanzas that I really enjoyed. And hearing you read it, well, I used to have Boston read all my stuff. To hear it, I love having people read my stuff back to me. So thank you for that.
It was truly a pleasure and quite the honor.
You're welcome. I spent an hour looking for this. I couldn't remember the title that had all the what-ifs in it. I spent an hour looking for my vault.
There used to be a comic book. It's called What If.
Yeah, I think every poet has a what if.
What if there was no dead air? Hello, Blog Talk.
I think the one I like, what if I held onto the sun to keep the night beside you? What if I stayed for a little while to make my dreams come true?
Uh-huh.
I remember wrestling with that, holding down the sun so the night would last longer.
It's a beautiful thought.
Cool. Thank you all. Yeah, Bill, what do you think?
Did we lose Sweet?
She's probably on mute.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. Okay, whenever you're ready,
you
I love your stuff. Yeah, what do you think of his beautiful poem?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind. I thought he just said something. Anyway, this is one on one of my lists, and I actually just giggled at his reply to my comment because I may have exploded, but it's so full of emotion. Wow, awesome explosion and a great share, Hatter. And he said, yeah, emotions like that can drop you to your knees. The doctor says, I'm much better now. And it just made me laugh. But I was looking, it only has 62 likes. It only has 8 lists that it's on, one of which is mine. And it's been a front page pick. And I remember the first time it was like a gut punch of emotion. And I didn't see anything when I first dialed in. I hadn't got to the board yet, but I heard you commenting by reading one of the couplets, and I knew exactly which poem it is. And you, Hatter, if you look for something like this, you probably could find it easier on one of my lists. Just saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I will do that.
All right, the next poem on the board is mine. So when you're all ready, let me know.
Ready, Freddy.
Okay, so this is tomorrow's and yesterday's. Spin the handle round and round. Listen for the weasel's song. Surprised again? Keep falling down. Minute by minute, check your list. Perfectionist. Idle hands become the devil's bitch. Silent questions keep water stills. Knock, knock. Don't ask who's there. Stay inside. All is clear. Peek-a-boo. Outside the window. Rain, rain. Bah, bah. Bad freak wants to play. What if you ran away today? And forgot to be perfect anyway. In the poem.
You know, Sweet, the second you mentioned the weasel, my mind is all around the mulberry bush. So now that's in my head, so thank you. But this is like a grown-up nursery rhyme, but not like sing-songy or anything like that. It's just you touch on all of these things, you know, with the knock-knock and the and the weasel and but it is anything but childlike. And I absolutely love this because the way you read things plays, this is why I love to hear people read their stuff. It plays such a big part in how the mood shifts. Just to hear you with that kind of sinister vibe in your voice, you know, with Tina Burton. And with the rain and the baba, I'm like, with the rain and the peekaboo and the baba, I'm like, all my nursery rhymes with baba, black sheep, happy honey. Well, it's all in my head. And here you are with the minute by minute, check your list perfectionist. I'm like, oh, I feel seen. It's fine. And then at the end of all of this kind of dark whimsy, you know, like, you know, well, what if you kind of ran away and just forgot for a minute to be perfect? And, you know, that would be lovely. Not that I ever think I'm perfect, but Lord knows I have lists and I check things and I'm constantly with the nitpicking, not because I want to be, but just because, you know, things need doing, for Pete's sake. I would love to. There's a beach with some palm trees and a hammock calling my name somewhere. I know there is. And so I absolutely love this. I do. And that's a wonderful, wonderful what if. So there's that. And Ms. Deborah Lee, what are your thoughts on this little piece?
I think this is an amazing brevity. I already put it on my list. The idle hands become the devil's bitch. Oh, man, I wish I wrote that. Peekaboo outside the window, rain. The bad freak wants to play. I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, sorry. I think this came out really awesome, sweet.
Thank you.
And Hatter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love the stanzas he wrote. I love the peekaboo. Start the outside the window, rain, bad. Freak wants to play. Sweet, what were you looking at? Or what can you remember?
I really started with, to be honest with you, thinking of a Jack in the Box because I don't know why. I was thinking, you know. The thought of the Jack in the Box is always, I know he's going to pop out, but when? What if I'm going to turn this handle, I know he's going to do it. And it's always a surprise, you know, when it's going to happen, what if it's going to happen, what if. So it's always that big surprise in my face. So for some sort of reason, when I was thinking of my what if poem, that freaking Jack in the Box is in my head. And I always am very much, this has to be done, this has to be done, this has to be done, this has to be done. I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. And over the last month, all of that has gone to hell. I have no schedule with my dogs, no schedule with my laundry, no schedule with my yard work, no schedule. Everything has just gone to hell, and I've been under so much pressure, and I've been under so many things. I'm not sleeping the way I should be sleeping, I'm not eating the way I should be sleeping. I'm not on my treadmill, I'm not doing this. So I really just want to run away and, like, either cry or drink Mai Tais. I don't know which one it is. So it just kind of, I feel either like crying like a little girl or running around away and shooting, you know, myself in the toe or just where everything is just mad confusion. And that little Jack in the Box is still playing that, you know, pop goes the measle because I never know when he's just going to throw himself in my face and tell me run left or run right. And this is what came out of my brain.
Did you have a line or something that was basically what you worked around to, that you included? I'm sorry?
Listen for the weasel fong. That was the line I started with.
Cool.
That's it. Came out of my brain.
Yeah, most of mine, it's usually a phrase, a hook, you know, a hook line, or something that inspired that you work on.
No, not what it was. It was just that stupid little Jack in the Box popping out in my head, pop, 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 and it just came spewing from my brain. I'm sorry, Hatter.
I wish I had an answer from you, but I don't.
And Rack, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love that you took this from a nursery rhyme standpoint. It speaks so much to my sarcasm. Unfortunately, you know, growing up the way that I did, and I got stuck with Pauly Shore in my head when you said the weasel. I didn't immediately go nursery rhyme, so there's I would have rathered all around the mulberry bush, and then Pauly Shore, the weasel. Oh my God, he's so annoying sometimes. But the thoughts behind it, you know, because nursery rhymes weren't supposed to be kid friendly. They were like really horror stories, you know. The baby and the bough breaks, you know. It's, you're talking about babies falling out of trees, and this is supposed to be child friendly, you know. It's like, listen to what's being said, people, and that's very much, you know, your style of writing for me, you know, because, you know, if you listen to the things that you're saying, you know, it sounds pretty and sweet until you get that taste on your tongue. It's like, oh no, it's poison. You know, what is that? Oleander. It smells beautiful, but you know, it's poisonous. Yeah. But yeah. I love the thought of it. You know, and I guess there's, you know, lies involved behind, you know, again, I say it speaks to my sarcasm because, you know, sometimes you hear those turns of phrase, you know, rain, go away. It's like you chuckle, you say, yeah, rain, go away. You know, you know, it's like, seriously, you want to smack someone when you hear some of those things. Sometimes it's really quite frustrating for me. And so you captured all of that in this piece.
Yeah, it's like that poem. It's like that poem was written about. It says, "You say you love the rain. When it rains, you run inside. You say you love the wind, but when it's windy, you close the window. You say you love the light, but you say you love the dark, but you turn on the light. You know, and then you say you love me." I don't know who wrote that.
Okay. I have multiple award-winning poem by Phil the Poet, which I think everyone shall find amusing and fun. So if you guys want to snap on that, and I'm going to hit his audio. So here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called A Metallic Mushroom in the Sky. There's a metallic mushroom in the sky that buzzes around like an annoying fly, with strobe lighting all around the rim. So hypnotizing, I must never give in. Aren't I the lucky one to live near Area 51? It used to be fun, but how boring it has become. In fact, it's quite intrusive when they don't knock. That's why I've set up something with a little shock. We come in peace, really? I'm not falling into that trap. I know they're lying because I've seen Mars Attacks. Everything in this town is so freaking alien friendly. They even teach about aliens in the school assembly. Foil hats are the latest accessory for every boy and girl. Makes me sad to see what has become of the world. Yes, it's true that this whole thing is bringing in the income, but I do think that the mayor has a disposable thumb. I guess we'll be on the evening news once again, giving these interviews every year such a pain. I think it's time to move to another planet, somewhere that we'd be glad to inhabit. End poem.
Okay, so the aliens are kind of bored living on Area 51. So they're moving on. Oh, Phil, I love this poem. You know, he actually asked me if it would be okay to send the poem if the aliens were tired of 51. And I'm like, I thought it'd be funny. And this is hilarious. I love foil hats and the latest accessory for every boy and girl. Makes me sad to see what's become of the world. Yes, it's true. This whole thing is bringing in the income. But I do think the mayor has a disposable thumb. Brilliant, right? Funny as heck. I really did enjoy this
great write, imaginative. As you can see, he's won so many medals. And I would have never thought to write anything like this. I don't know how people just bring these things to light. And they're like, hey, let's do this. This is great. Freebird, your thoughts on this?
I absolutely love this. I do. I don't know that I've ever read. I mean, I've read, like, a lot of his Rimby stuff, but I don't know that I've ever read anything sci-fi from him. And I love this taste, this take on it. You know, it's always fun to read something that gives you a different perspective or takes a thought that never crossed your mind and just completely fleshes it out, which this absolutely did. And, you know, it's like foil hats are the latest accessory for every boy and girl. Makes me sad to see what's become of the world. You know, I'm absolutely loving this idea. You know, let's just go someplace else. It's just too tedious already. And I absolutely love that. I do. So I think you did a great, great job with this little story. It's fabulous.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was surprising that he used Area 51. I mean, he's English, of course. They have Rendlesham Forest. Was it Rendlesham Forest where they had England had a close encounter of the third kind? Yeah, it makes me think that he's part of MUFON in search of what the government knows of aliens. No, this was good. Phil never lets us down. Everything he writes has got is meaning, and his storytelling is spot on. He introduces what he's going to say. The body of it. Then he ends it quite well, or all of them. The endings are very important. They're just as important as the beginning to hook the reader to want to keep reading. But then the end is what they will remember. So they're both important. End comment.
Rack and Tor, your thoughts?
Yeah, again, cartoons and things like that. I hear a line from South Park, which I'm not going to repeat for your PG-13 show, but I really enjoy the whole thought of it. It makes me, you know, think he might have some connection to the real estate agency that he wants to, you know, have the aliens moving to another planet. Because what kind of commission are you going to get for that sale?
yeah, take me.
The whole you know, alien thing, it's almost like it's kind of in your face, and he's dragging it out of the dark and shining a light on it. You know, the everything is alien friendly, and they want to talk about the visitors and whatnot, and I don't know. He did a great job, you know, talking about the lights in the sky and the bouncing around. You know, it definitely puts you in that mindset and that feeling. And it's still, at the same time, it's very lighthearted. But it's like, if you think about it, he's still got it as a point. As lighthearted as he tries to make it sound, you know, they're out there.
It's out there.
And Deb, your comment.
I thought that Phil's playful side is really cool. I like the story and the details. I like for hats are the latest accessory for every boy and girl. It makes me sad to see what has become of the world. And then, of course, at the end, I think it's time to move to another planet, somewhere where we'd be glad to inhabit. I don't know. You look at, what was the one that Sky just had on there, where it was raining glass sideways, 1,000 cuts? It was like, I don't know, you think you got it bad,
world.
And then you look
yeah.
at a place like that on that death planet. And,
the blue planet.
Yeah, so like... But it's really this, and I like the beginning. There's a metallic mushroom in the sky that buzzes around like an annoying fly. again, really fun to see his playful side.
I didn't get to that show, but I read all about it.
Available for download.
Okay,
on, for download. Available for download now on Blog Talk Radio.
I know. Pretty Bird, you are up for a read.
All right. Here we go. This is Ben's fighting words. And it goes like this. If words weren't weapons or skin deflected forked tongues, we could all claim superhero status for just existing, which is hard enough in this fallible skin with fallible thoughts and a mind skewed by imperfect emotions. Except pain. Pain is always perfect. Its purity never changes despite the cause or type or duration. It always hurts. Irrational and moody, perception hangs in the wind, trying to balance memories with reflections, and deflection is just well-dressed denial, and roles no one ever has to play. Honesty is my superpower, an epic defense mechanism, a safe harbor for feeling too much. Guarded or defenses down, too open hurts both hunter and prey. Nothing like taking damage, and damned if you do, damned if you don't, life lessons and crash courses of minimal sustainability. But I take comfort in the pain. I take comfort in the pain waking behind those who go blind, staring at the sun and stars or any light that enlightens the past. It never lets me down, but you did. If words weren't weapons in the mouths of those frightened by difference, life would come in hues of flavor that didn't melt away in the dark, cradled on tongues, dancing in the rain with no consideration for shelter, because wet is just a state of being, and dry is often overrated. Broken armor yesterday's cracked force fields and break trust. But if words weren't weapons, maybe we'd heal. And palm book.
Wow. If words weren't weapons, maybe we'd heal. Damn. How do you end something like that? Like, words should be, you know, our blessing. They soothe our soul. But no, man, you come off with, but if words weren't weapons, because the pen is mightier than the sword, and words can make us bleed. Dang, broken trust, broken armor, cradled on tongues, dancing in the rain, no consideration for shelter. Man, this is powerful, Pretty Bird. This is just beyond powerful. I mean, you have put so much impact in here, and I everybody that knows you, this honesty is...
superpower.
What? Yeah, it is your superpower, and I mean, I'm like almost tongue-tied, I mean, or deflected forked tongues, because the ending of that is just like, you just, it's like, boom, let me smack you straight up in your face, because, you know, I have my weapon, it's my words, and I just shut you down with them, because there's nothing that you can say out of your mouth, nothing you're going to say to me, because I'm not going to heal. You've already taken me down, and so don't even bother talking. I think this is probably one of your more powerful ones. Deb, your thoughts?
Let's start with wow. By the time you read the last word, I was like blown away. But where's that?
Don't pick mine.
I'll try not to, Hatter. I can't stand when that happens. You know, it doesn't really matter because it just keeps hitting and it gets better and better and better. And it's really bugging me because I really wanted to say so. I can't believe I just hit that. I guess, let me, yeah, it's going to be one of them nights. Guarded or defenses down to open hurts both hunter and prey. Nothing like taking damage and damned if you do and damned if you don't. But I take comfort in the pain walking behind those who go blind, staring at the sun and stars or any light that enlightens the path. But the repeat, I think it was a repeat of If Words Weren't Weapons.
The book.
Yeah, it's like it hits really hard. Cradled on tongues, dancing in the rain with no consideration for shelter because wet is just a state of being and dry is often overrated. And then there's the last six lines, the last three are so true. If words weren't weapons, maybe we'd heal. But, words are worse weapons than any knife because I think that the scars cut deeper. Hell of a right.
Thank you very much. And Rocky Tor, your thoughts?
Yeah, that line you just quoted, Deb, about at the end, words for weapons. Damn it, you just did it to me. I had it in my brain and then pushed it.
But if words weren't weapons, maybe we'd heal.
No, it was. I think just before that.
No, because wet is just a state of being and dry is often overrated.
Yeah. The thing about that, my twisted mind, I love things like that because the thought that I connect that to within this poem itself, you also mention and you always mention that pain is consistent, and you're talking about a lot of pain in this and how the words hurt. So it's almost like, somebody that enjoys the pain. So you're giving them what they want. You're hurting them. And there's that sick, twisted thing that happens in relationships sometimes that just turn into something like that. It makes me think of that. It's not an intentional thing. It's just one of those, you want pain, here you go. And it turns into almost an outdoing of each other kind of a thing. Some people tend to enjoy that. So there's a different way of looking at it. And that's where the wet is just a state of being in my mind comes in also. And then you do the lovely book ending at the beginning and the end, which, I always appreciate. It's a beautiful literary device. Which that's kind of like your tagline. You're a beautiful literary device. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead. They both got the line that I was looking. Life. it was the. Because wet is just a state of being and dry is often overrated. That's a cool line. You can plug that into a lot of places. Pretty Bird, what did you build? Was there a line that you built around or a stanza?
Oh, no, not even. When I read her thing, and it's the first time that I've written just to write in quite a while, but when I read her, what if, I don't really do whimsy because it always comes out not like me. And so I was like, well, my first thought was, well, if people didn't suck, but that wasn't going to work for me. So this is kind of why they suck. And so I just kind of started writing and this is what it was. Like this maybe came out in 10 minutes and that was done. And I never edited it, which was there. Like she posted the thing, as soon as I saw it, I dropped the phone when I was done. And it was nice because that doesn't happen a whole lot lately. It used to happen all the time, but it doesn't lately. And so there was nothing to build around. There was no thought or form. It was just kind of short out.
You obviously weren't blinded by the lightning.
So the phrase, if words weren't weapons, so if words being weapons, that came through the creative part of writing? Or basically grab that.
It was just a thought. It wasn't even it wasn't even a thing. It just happened. There was no, I didn't like, it wasn't like I thought of a line and I formed a poem around it. It just kind of came out in the order it came out.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, I like it when you've got a hook line or a phrase that you want to build around. A lot of times I'm trying to do that, and what gets edited? The line that I tried to build around.
All right, we have Death's poem on the board.
We'll put it in our ears.
I'm headed back to there. Okay. Okie dokie. It's called What If My Patience Snapped? Like right now. Come on. I'm sorry to catch torturing me. What if my patience snapped? So tell me, what if you poke me and my hazel green eyes spy you? Over and over, again and again, standing square in my view, picking and poking, playing dirty pool too. As I spot you, do you go to run and hide? No? What if my palms grab that fat head, the head that's between two smoke shoulders sits? Then, with this big grin beaming from my face squeeze, my fingers popping that giant head like swollen pus-filled zits, laughing as you ooze into the mud, splashing blood as the torso bounces with a thud. Will you wish around then? And
will
not.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's great. Okay. First off, that's disgusting and funny, but this is great. Oh, God. Well, some people deserve that. I'm just saying. Playing
this is true.
I mean, two swollen pus builds it. You just pop them. Get them out of your way. Laughing as you ooze into the mud, splashing blood as torsos pumps with a thud. This is my kind of poem, Deb, and you knew it, and I love that you wrote that way. Oh,
it was all just to make you laugh.
And it made me laugh. I mean, if you're going to be that much of a pain in the butt, get out, or I'm going to pop you out of my life. Just go. Even though it does say a lot about society, you know, you can only take so much from any one person. And then sometimes just zip, bop, gone. Yeah, I know. I've got people in my life that I've had to do this too. Just like, you know, little anuses that you just got to, skin blemishes. I've had them, you know, taken out by doctors, had a little radiation removed. It's all good. Bye-bye. Anyway.
I landed that PR.
That's right. Dragon Tour, your thoughts.
I loved it. This is Deborah Lee's take on pop culture. There used to be a comic strip called Zits, and it used to always make me chuckle, so it made me think of that too. But you know, the idea of grabbing someone's head and squeezing it until it pops is not unfamiliar to me. And you presented that thought in the past too, so you know I feel your frustration. And I admire your restraint. As far as I know, you don't have a criminal record and you haven't been arrested yet. So you're doing good.
So far, so good.
Either that or you're even better at hiding the bodies.
Good friends with great shovels.
Oh,
you've got a lot
goodness.
Of places to hide some bodies. So
that's a dirty thing, right? Thanks, Rack. Put them out there with a hopper, man.
Absolutely.
Picking and poking and playing dirty pool. What's a dirty pool to you, Deb?
Well, dirty pool's cheating. so it's a scumball, waste of space, low life. A few choice words that I can't say during PG-13. Mm-hmm. Somebody who smiles in your face and stabs you in the back. I could go on, but I'll leave it there. Some
there's
people deserve their head popped like a pinball.
That's right.
Nothing worse than having to play somebody that plays dirty pool.
That's right.
That's not necessarily cheating. It's aggravating.
Well,
but,
if you're playing against a girl and she bends over and slashes cleavage just as you're about to take your shot, distracts you, and you know, you might have enjoyed the view, but that's dirty pool. So it could be something simple, or it could be so big time I'd like to hunt you down and pop you like a zit.
Okay, let me ask you a question. There was this guy walked into a tavern that I happened to be in and wanted to know who was the best player, pool player, wanted to play him. And everybody pointed to me. He says, you want to play? I'll play $10 a ball. And I said, no, I don't play for money, but I'll play for $1. And when I win, I'll have you sign it. We'll hang it behind the bar so you can see it every time you walk in. Now, this guy was very good. And there was a time where he's gonna win. My lead was not where I wanted it. That he could run out. Had about three or four balls left. And there was a friend of mine named Mike that came into the bar. He had one leg. His right leg was amputated from the knee down, and he had always had this wooden, this plastic, really cool looking 49er. Decal leg. I said, Mike, put your bad leg up on the stool here and then just play along. He said, all right. So then when the guy took a shot, and he's walking around the table, I took my graphite pool cue and smacked it over Mike's leg. And I mean, really hard. It hit crack, and everybody's looking at me. And I said, I start screaming at Mike, I told you to stay out of this freaking place. I turn around with my eyes big. This guy's just freaking out. Never made another shot. Now, is that dirty pool?
Yes, but it's funny dirty pool. Oh, my God.
Really? Is that a true story, Hunter?
Yeah, it's a true story. I still have the nick in my graphite pool. You. I hit him hard. And my goodness, yeah, that was really, because I hit him with the handle part, and it made such a crack. And then I just had to go with it. I started yelling at him, told you not to come into this place again. You owe me money, blah, 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 blah. And turn around, and the guy was just freaking freaking out. He missed the next shot, and that's all I needed.
You didn't have a leg to stand on.
Not a leg.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I tell you what, I got the dollar. He signed it, and it was pinned up again behind the bar.
Wait.
Minnesota bad.
Yep. That dirty pool. I had to do something. He was gonna run out. He was gonna run out the table. I left a bad leave. So.
Can't do it again to you sometimes. Totally. Gotta play smooth.
Only dirty pool if it happens to you.
That's right. Hey, Pretty Bird, can you read Heavenly Angels poem for me?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Thank you, darling.
Okay,
hey guys, I gotta go.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me. Read, my Pretty Bird, Deborah, Rack.
Bye.
Night, sweet. Good night.
This
is If You'll But Write a Love Poem by Heavenly Angel. If you'll write another love poem, I'll reciprocate with this. You are the other half of my very soul, my inspiration, my bliss. Picturesque and serene, each magical scene lit. To all is your charm, nothing can compare. Life doesn't get better, I know what you mean. I have you, babe, by my side, here to share.
He beckoned me to come with arms spread open wide. My head lay tight against your chest. You wrapped me up in love. If one can die from the sickness of love, I'm beyond terminal, ready to go meet God above. What I believe is this. We're touched by heaven's smile, living day by day in this cold paradise. This love between you and I, at the end of the day, that's enough to decide. I do know that at this very moment, you are the smile, the joy of my heart. And for you, I'd do anything.
I love that. I think that to be a smile of someone, that someone you get at the end of the day would be the, like, joy of life. I think that it's the ultimate romanticism, is that you're the smile at the end of my day. I just love that thought process. And once again, you know, you think love poems, you think Heavenly Angel. I think she does them just so very well. Rack your thoughts.
Yeah, it's just, what if I moved to Pennsylvania and found it? you know, I always enjoy listening to her and her thoughts on romance and things like that. It's impossible not to be drawn to the way that she describes a relationship, you know, and you think of things like, you know, being the reason somebody smiles and whatnot. It's a beautiful thought. It really is.
Yeah, and pretty bird.
She's wonderfully romantic. I love that, the end of that first stanza. You are the other half of my very soul, my inspiration, my voice. There's something about that, you know, it's tempered by, in everyday reality, it's kind of tempered by the ups and downs, the worries, you know, little minutia of life. Where it's not that it's not inspirational or blissful, it can be, but you know, it's just tempered by the daily routine, and in any kind of absence, that's all that there is the good stuff. You know, you tend to not like feel any of the bad or any of the mundane anywhere as deeply as you miss that inspiration and that smile and those arms and the words they once wrote. And not that this has anything to do with somebody leaving, but it's the only time that with is blissful, I guess. Because usually when you're in it, you don't know that you're in it, you know? It's like you're all happy and exuberant, but you're in those moments and you're living your life and you're making those memories and you can, like, bask in that all you want to. But the next time life kicks you in the teeth, you're like, oh, these blissful moments that may not have registered that way when they're happening. And so that's where my thought went. And I love, if one can die from the sickness of love, because, you know, being love sick, I love that. I love that she, like, kind of half-quote sickness. And I'm beyond terminal. You know, I know the feeling, sister. I know it well. And so I enjoyed this, and I enjoy reading it. And I didn't get a chance to comment on Deb, so if I can, after the fact, would you mind?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah,
it's okay.
I'm sorry. I did not know you did not comment. What a loser.
Well, first, with the whole simple comment, I got all Animal House. Belushi stuffed his mouthful
of mashed
potatoes and
what?
Then, you know. My mind went right there. So I absolutely love that. But there is something, you know, whenever somebody is poking the bear and, you know, some people might find me intimidating. I don't understand because I'm as sweet as can be. But I'm standing there and really I'm a nice person. It takes a lot to aggravate me, especially face to face. And if you're sitting there poking me and I'm sitting there biting my tongue because I really don't want to, you know, slap a hole in public, my mind is all over the things I would do if I wasn't such a nice, well-behaved human. So that
nice
kind of reminded me of that. Like, yeah, I see you. You know I see you, right? Cause I'm looking right at you. You know what you did. And they just, you know,
deep in their mess of crap, spewing those lies like I'm blind. And so, yeah, so I absolutely feel this, and I love that that touch of humor, because that's just kind of both gross and awesome.
I agree. That was fabulous. I love your comment. I'm sorry. I did not call on you. I feel awful, but so worth the wait. I know. All right, so the next one up is Laughing Souls, and I will read her. My verse is bizarre. If I call the moon a bird, you'd say, it's the most weird thing you've heard. If I can show you tonight, moon perched on my window like a kite. And sometimes with my dream, it flies off far. I know you say, it's my imagination bizarre. But if I say, sing, like a nightingale in the balmy spring. Maybe you'd say it's the unsung desires in me which seek solace in poetry and poem. I love the flow of this. I think it's very beautiful, and I love the imagination of it, and I love any time one can find solace in poetry. Thought it was very pretty. Rack, your thoughts?
Yeah, it is very, very pretty, you know, and calming and zen. It kind of takes you away a little bit. I really appreciated it.
Any thoughts, Preber?
Yeah, I like a colorful celebrity, and she does a good job taking it to that place, and I kind of like that whole sad bird song ideology there, and you know, poetry is a lovely thing that can sing, and it's kind of melancholy, and she did a lovely job.
And then I have one more for you to read, Pretty Bird, and then we are done for the night. Because I will not read AP or Adam. I've already told them both they have to read their own stuff. So that's just them. I won't read their stuff. I have rules for my people. All right. There you go.
Okay, this is Imaginary Lines by Pomona Soulweaver. And it goes like this. Lines most cannot see connecting you and me. They go in one soul and out into another. Imagine what it would be like if the world could see imaginary lines connecting you and me.
Yes. Very simple. If the world could just see all the lines that connected people together, maybe they wouldn't be so easily broken. You know, if you could actually see the strength and feelings of the strength, and maybe if you could actually see if someone was disconnecting from you, how odd would that be? How easy it would be? You wouldn't have to guess. You would always know, wait a minute, that link's getting a little weaker. I wonder what that would be like. I found that pretty interesting to think about. What did you think, Pretty Bird? You read it?
You know, there's something to be said for making connections. And in the day of magical interwebs, you know, they're far and wide, or they can be. And when you meet somebody, whether it is a friend, a more than friend, it doesn't matter. Those connections are just as real as they are when they're sitting right next to you. And it's an interesting concept because my mind goes like right to like shoots and ladders, you know, where you see this all of these things, where things are just leading here, there, and everywhere else. But, you know, it kind of makes that whole
interwebbed into a tangible visual, you know, where you can see where this line swirls over this way and this line swirls over that way. And it's a wonderful visual to be tethered to another soul, to be bits and pieces of somebody else and have them fill those gaps that are in your emptiness. And it's a beautiful thing. Personally, I don't want people to see my business because I'm that girl, you know. But I don't tell people my name, so you know, you don't need to see where my gaps are being filled by the lovelies. But I love the notion of that people can't then go, well, it's not real, it's only the internet, and you're like, but look, you know. So I kind of love that, the idea of that. But I'm more the type of person that's like, this is my good stuff. I'm not sharing it with you. You know nothing.
You know nothing of me. I would just think it'd be like this gigantic, like, I don't know. I was trying to think of, like, what would it be, like a dream weave or a spider web weave or how intricate and delicate it would be based on your connections with this person or the love you have for this person or the hate you might have with this person, what those designs would be. That's what I'm imagining.
Oh my goodness, I know what
you
it
know?
Would be. It would be like a giant map of the world with those push pins and all the different colors of yarn. Stay away from the from those poison lines and you go to the ones that are brightly colored.
See, that's why creative people can't think like this. Oh my god, Rack, your thoughts as we go off with our yarn and our push pins.
Well, I mean, it's funny, the yarn and lines, you know, when you pull that across the map, you make lines, but you know, that visualization, like you say, it's a lovely thought. You know, it's a literal idea that can be very helpful in trying to figure out what the hell is going on sometimes, because some people are more visual than verbal, and they can't do something without seeing that hierarchy and that chart and understanding their connections. It's like, oh, so that's how you got it. That's how this one knows that one, or I don't know. It's interesting. It kind of makes my head spin a little bit. I like things that do that.
Yeah, me too. All right, you guys, once again, thank you for being here with me from beginning to the end, my true friends, and I appreciate you hanging out with me. But we're going to say good night. Everybody go get some sound sleep. I know I definitely need it. I got to tell you, sir, I got eyebrows today, by the way. It's quite interesting. I had my eyebrows tinted, and I don't normally
nice.
Have eyebrows. Huh? I had them tinted.
Yep.
So I don't normally have eyebrows because I'm a very pale person.
And why do
and
I not have
were,
a picture
like,
of
this? Because I know it was quite funny. So, I had these big, broad, black eyebrows for a while, and it was quite hilarious. And I just thought you should imagine that, Pre-Bird, because you know how pale I am. So now I have eyebrows.
Yes, you're my pasty friend.
Yes.
Oh,
so I got my hair
done
and I got eyelashes and eyebrows
pasty?
Today, and it was quite interesting.
Did you get eyelash
but,
extensions?
Yeah. Eyebrows.
Okay, I've never done that. Is
and
that
eyelash.
Like scary?
No, I didn't get eyelash extensions. I just got eyelashes. She put on eyelashes for me. Like, just for the
oh,
day.
Oh, okay.
Because I got my
oh, okay.
eyebrows done. So she's, like, playing up my eyes because it was fun.
Yeah.
I would give you an eyelash plant. You could have my eyelashes.
Okay. But I was just going to tell you, so I have these big black eyelashes on. And she looks at me and she goes, you know, I could be racist, but you look a little standard.
The grease paint caterpillars.
I have a Puerto Rican friend, and I'm going to tell her that tonight. And she goes, you really should, because that just doesn't look right on you at all.
So funny. I can't imagine with like dark eyebrows and like these
they were
big like spider lashes.
It was hilarious while she was doing it. I mean, once it all came off and tint, you know, she wiped everything down, it doesn't look like that at all. But while it was on, I was like Groucho Marx. It was hilarious.
That's hysterical.
But yeah, that was my story for you. All right, darlings, I love yous, and I will talk to you very soon. Have a good night, poetry world out there,
love
too.
You.
Love you. Good night, everybody out in Poetry Land. Love you, Rack and Tour.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good night. Good night, Block Talk Radio. Good night, everybody who listens to
Block Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.